Good morning. Today we'll cover Article 13 of the Chicago Statement on Biblical Hermeneutics. Article 13. We affirm that awareness of the literary categories, formal and stylistic, of the various parts of Scripture is essential for proper exegesis, and hence we value genre criticism as one of the many disciplines of biblical study. We deny that generic categories, which negate historicity, may rightly be imposed on biblical narratives which present themselves as factual. We discussed various biblical styles and genres 3 weeks ago, such as parables, poetry, psalms, anthropomorphisms, which, if you remember, are giving human qualities to non-human objects, and proverbs. Today we will talk about a very prominent literary style in the scripture called apocalyptic literature. Apocalypse is a Greek word meaning revelation or unveiling or unfolding of things not previously known. The book of Revelation is sometimes called the book of the Apocalypse. Interestingly, this unveiling of truth often comes in a highly symbolic and veiled language. Let's read from the famous Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, 29 through 30. Matthew 24. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. A lot of years back when I was in high school, I read The Late Great Planet Earth, a best-selling book by Hal Lindsey, which stated that this very passage taught the end of the earth, possibly by nuclear destruction. When you hear stars falling from the sky, the moon turning to blood, the sun not giving its light, and the heavens shaking, at first reading, it sounds like the end of the world. But that passage is not talking about the end of the world. Matthew 24 is actually, in a very symbolic and apocalyptic way, talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in the same chapter, not one stone shall be left upon one another. And he's talking about the destruction of the temple. And he says this very generation that he's talking to will not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. Listen now to extremely similar language in Isaiah 13:10, which is prophesying the destruction of Babylon. Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of the heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light, and the sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Notice almost identical language in Ezekiel 32:7-8, which is prophesying the destruction of Egypt and the king of Egypt. Ezekiel 32:7. And when I extinguish you, I will cover the heavens and darken their stars. I will cover the sun with cloud, and the moon will not give its light. And all the shining lights in heavens I will darken over you, and will set darkness on your land, declares the Lord. And in Acts 2, Peter, quoting directly from Joel chapter 2, confirms the end of the Jewish covenant. Acts 2:15. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what is spoken of through the prophet Joel, continuing in verse 18. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Again, this is not talking about the end of the physical world. Peter says that directly. It's fulfilled this day. It is the end of a Jewish empire and the end of sacrifices and scribes and Pharisees, and the gospel is going out to all nations. Here is one final example in 2 Peter 3, 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. Since all these things will thus be dissolved, what sort of people ought we to be in lives of holiness and goodness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to this promise, we are waiting for the new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Here are the comments of Puritan John Owen on these verses. And hence it is, when mention is made of the destruction of a state and government, it is in the language that seems to set forth the end of the world. So Isaiah 34:4, which is yet but the destruction of the state of Edom, like it is also affirmed of the Roman Empire, Revelation 6:14, which the Jews constantly affirm to be intended by Edom in the prophets, and of our Savior's predictions of the destruction of Jerusalem in Matthew 24. It is evident, then, that in the prophetical idiom and manner of speech by heavens and earth, the civil and religious state and combination of men in the world and of the men of them are often understood. On this foundation, I affirm that the heavens and earth here intended in this prophecy of Peter, the coming of the Lord, the day of judgment, the perdition of ungodly men mentioned in the destruction of that heaven and earth, do all of them relate not to the last and final judgment of the world, but to the utter destruction and desolation that was made of the Judaical church and state. So, does the presence of highly apocalyptic symbols like stars being darkened and the moon turning to blood, which are not literally historical but symbolic, negate historical narratives such as the creation, Adam and Eve, Jonah and the whale, and the resurrection of Jesus, when the Bible states these things to be historical fact? Absolutely not. Parables need to be treated as parables, metaphors as metaphors, history as history, and doctrine as doctrine. Hermeneutics can be tough, but it is profitable, as is all of Scripture.